this be one of the best moments of your life. You're listening to the Business Mirror Podcast for a broader look on business with Senior Editor Dennis Estopase.
Good day. Welcome to the Business Mirror Be a Broader Look Podcast. Today we podcast an abridged version of a story that highlights the ways the Philippines can recover from an economic crisis. The story titled Recovery Requires Resolve, Rapid Release of Resources, Economist, was written by Business Mirror reporter Kai Ordinario. The story was published in the Broader Look section of the Business Mirror on September 3, 2020. For the full text version online, please go to www.businessmirror.com.ph and search for Broader Look. For the print version, please read the Business Mirror newspaper. Let's get on with the story. Mother Nature. If President Trump's Kung Fu virus allegation is disbelieved, could be a bitch sometimes. She made that point this year. This year had a lot of should-haves and could-haves, according to Socio-Economic Planning Secretary Carl Kendrick Chua. Chua, the new chief of the National Economic and Development Authority, said 2020 is the year the Philippines could have become an upper-middle-income country, a feat that has been elusive for over 30 years for the sick man of Asia. An upper-middle-income country, based on World Bank classification, is a country that has a per capita gross national income of between $4,046 and $12,535 annually. The Philippines, as a lower-middle-income country, has a per capita gross national income of between $1,036 and $4,045. The government estimated the country at the end of 2019 had a per capita gross national income of $3,512. But former Finance Undersecretary Chua and many government officials didn't account for Mother Nature. 7 days after the epiphany, Taal volcano erupted. And then a mystery illness detected in Wuhan, China, reached the archipelago and became the rampaging train that is the coronavirus 2019 or COVID-19 pandemic. The pandemic caused the most damage, as a public health emergency prompted government to impose strict containment measures. This stifled businesses and robbed millions of their jobs and livelihood. The Philippine economy contracted 8.6% in the first semester of the year. This takes into consideration the 0.7% contraction posted in the first quarter and the 16.5% contraction in the second quarter. Based on the April labor force survey results, the country's unemployment rate soared to nearly 18%, the highest in the country's history. The data pointed out that around 5 million Filipinos lost their jobs as of April. The July figures, economists believe, would also not bring some reprieve, as double-digit unemployment figures are still expected. The number of employed Filipinos also declined. And as September brings images of singer Jose Marichan on social media, figures for the second half of the year bring images of a grim Christmas. Former Socio-Economic Planning Secretary Solita Monsod noted in a presentation that the number of employed only grew 1.3 million between the second half of 2016 and 2019. Monsod said government's objectives would have been possible as of 2019. However, she said the aims of becoming an upper-middle-income country, achieving a high level of human development, and cutting unemployment to 3% to 5% may already be too difficult to achieve given the pandemic. Monsod, the country's chief economist during the debt crisis of the 1980s, blamed the government's fixation of keeping the deficit in check for the current state of the economy. She said the government should allow the deficit to grow because the priority during these difficult times should be the welfare of the people. The Philippine economy's recovery will not happen this year, former Socio-Economic Planning Secretary Dante Canlas told the Business Mirror. According to Canlas, risk and uncertainty remain high, preventing any recovery in consumption the primary driver of the economy, and new investments to take root. ING Bank Manila senior economist Nicolas Mapa's view is along the lines of Canlas's. Mapa told the Business Mirror that with the impact of the pandemic on the economy, the country already lost all its economic gains since 2016. Mapa said the Philippines is headed to a lower growth path, as the economy may take years to resume its organic growth, where consumption drives investment and eventually generates enough revenue to bolster government spending, achieving pre-pandemic balanced growth. Canlas agreed with Monsod and said that any recovery from the pandemic would be hindered by the decision of the Department of Finance to practice austerity economics. Canlas said austerity economics will block any opportunity for an early recovery. He said, given that market failures are pervasive, the government must actively lead in getting the economy out of a looming depression far worse than the 1984 to 1985 deep recession. Apart from these austerity measures, University of Asia and the Pacific economist Bernardo Villegas said the country's bright prospects could be threatened by its long-term challenges. Villegas said these include low agricultural productivity and obstacles to doing business, especially for foreign investors. Villegas added that the Philippines is plagued with a shortage of technical skills, high electricity rates, corruption, and poor governance, and high frequency of natural calamities. According to Monsod, the economy continues to suffer from its worst beating since 1949, the year that the government started releasing the national income accounts data. Some economists believe it is important to look at some bright spots, especially for the long term. Villegas said it's no use to look at short-term prospects. He said that as far as he is concerned, any short-term forecasts and projections are guesstimates and would be unreliable at this time. Villegas said the country's long-term opportunities remain. These, he said, include the country's young, growing and English-speaking population, as well as the country's unique geographic position in the region. Villegas added that the country also has an intertemporal dividend, meaning the timely shift from low middle income status to upper middle income status. Villegas said the country could become an upper middle income country in 3 years to 4 years, or at the soonest, on year 2023. This means reaching a per capita income of around $4,000 and a growth of 6% to 7%. Villegas said the country still enjoys its abundant natural resources, especially for tourism, the country's massive infrastructure program, and the faster growth being observed in regions outside the national capital region. Meanwhile, Canlas said economic recovery will be led by the agriculture sector, particularly crops and fishery. Canlas also believes that manufacturing of chips and electronic components are also poised to recover. In services, Canlas said domestic tourism and food manufacturing stand a chance at recovering, while financial services continue to enjoy their good fortune. Based on Monsod's analysis, the financial sector in the country always grew faster than the country's gross domestic product. She said that in the second quarter, finance and insurance services subsectors grew 6.8%. It was already larger than the agriculture sector, which only accounted for 10% of the economy. Based on Monsod's estimates, the finance and insurance services subsectors already account for 11.4% of gross domestic product. Monsod said the growth of the financial sector is in light of Hong Kong's problems, but anti-money laundering measures in the Philippines are so inadequate they deter major money banks from migrating many of their financial operations to the Philippines. Canlas said improving the country's digital infrastructure is also a prerequisite to attracting big financial companies. Former Tariff Commissioner George Manzano told the Business Mirror that the industries that could be considered bright spots for the economy are food and agribusinesses, telecommunications, and logistics, especially last-mile logistics, which requires recipient receives an item as quickly as possible. Manzano added these bright spots include pharmaceuticals and the wellness industry, especially immunology, as well as training, education, and certification courses. Manzano also pointed out that information technology would also be an important sector that will become a sunrise industry for the Philippines. In an email to the Business Mirror, Krista Danielle Yu of the De La Salle University said now would be a good time to look at e-commerce in the country. The pandemic has allowed the burgeoning of so many online businesses, so much so that it has hastened the efforts to make online transactions the new norm in the Philippines, according to Yu. Yu, who is De La Salle University Associate Professor in the Economics Department, said online services such as food delivery, online groceries, and other online retail businesses are the sunrise industries for the Philippines. Yu added, these industries provide the basic needs of households while allowing businesses to operate. Yu said online business platforms will continue to thrive. This will bring in demand for new services such as social media management, web development, and digital marketing. These provide new employment opportunities. In addition, these are non-location specific jobs, which gives access for firms located in other countries to also employ them, Yu said. Mapa said it was difficult to box certain industries as sunset or sunrise. He said, however, businesses or industries that will be able to maximize technology will surely achieve success in a new economy. It's not so important which industry you belong, but rather how willing an industry is willing to embrace technology to play ball in the new economy, Mapa said. However, Dr. Alvin Ang of the Ateneo de Manila University said it was important to take into consideration the access to technology of the greater number of Filipinos. Ang, who is the director of the Ateneo Center for Economic Research and Development, said the country's existing infrastructure facilities would not fully support the digital economy. Ang said the digital economy is limited to those who have access to it and it will take time to be maximized. Monsod said, given the state of things, any hope of recovery would likely come in 2021, but mainly due to base effects. With second quarter gross domestic product contracting 16.5% this year, Monsod said it would likely lead to higher growth in the second quarter of next year. However, Monsod said an economic recovery would not be possible without spending. She said the central bank has been doing its job well by allowing the financial sector to help keep micro, small, medium enterprises afloat at this time. Monsod added that the financial sector should also pay back all the good fortune it has enjoyed in the past two decades. She said thrift banks are among the most important players in keeping micro-scale businesses and small businesses get back on their feet. According to MAPA, the government should undertake aggressive spending to boost aggregate demand. This is one of the ways to revive the heart and soul of the economy, which is household consumption. According to MAPA, a massive effort to address both short-term and medium-term goals should be put forth, with a single-minded drive to invest in the future while putting other aspirations, such as an A credit rating, on the back burner. MAPA added that implementing reforms such as the national ID system, infrastructure spending, and spending on information technology across the sectors of healthcare and education would also be ideal for the economy. Apart from spending, MAPA said there is a need to pass key legislations that lower income taxes for corporates and bolster incentives for investment. However, when it comes to taxes, Canla said the Department of Finance should junk tax proposals that worsen income inequality and proposals for new commodity taxation such as the proposed taxes on some food items and digital services. Canlas added that more than spending, the government should enhance testing and tracking of those afflicted with COVID-19. Canlas said this will help improve confidence among consumers and investors. Canlas added that the government should be credible in stamping out corruption at the PhilHealth. The chief executive must come out of self-isolation and announce a rebooted comprehensive public health plan and overhaul the implementation arrangement, including its PhilHealth's leadership, Canlas said. Professor Ang told the Business Mirror that ultimately attaining food security will help the country recover. This means giving not only national agencies the support they need, but also local government units or LGUs. Ang said LGUs are essential to boost food production because of the devolution of agriculture extension services. One of the ways to increase resources at the local level is the Mandanas ruling, which is set to be implemented by 2022. However, Ang said there is a need to improve the absorptive capacity of LGUs to ensure that they will be able to maximize the additional funds. Rosario Manasan, formerly of the Philippine Institute for Development Studies or PIDS, said the national government can free up nearly 248 billion pesos worth of projects and programs to finance the additional items needed to meet the Mandanas ruling. Further, the government should speed things up for the farm sector by offering incentives and helping farmers connect with markets nationwide, according to Manasan, former PIDS Senior Research Fellow. The Department of Agriculture should work on the process of propagation to market access, Ang said. The DA has an abundant technology like those used for land stability, so funding support should follow, Professor Ang added. Apart from these, Professor Yu said the government should develop programs to train farmers and provide them seed money to allow them to increase the value of their products. Yu said, instead of throwing out produce that they are unable to sell, farmers can make processed fruit and vegetable products to prolong shelf life and provide additional revenue for them and their community. Yu added, it is important to provide farmers with skills by training them in online businesses to help connect them to the buyers of their products. A more comprehensive program is needed to maximize the digital economy, according to Yu. Professor Yu added that the government can provide capacity building opportunities through the Technical Education and Skills Development Authority, or TESDA. This will help upskill workers for new jobs that can come through the digital economy, she explained. Yu added that paperless transactions should be encouraged by both private and public sectors. This will help reduce the probability of virus transmission, particularly for the financial sector, she said. Yu said that the government should capitalize on its biggest resource base, which is human resource, in preparing for post-pandemic recovery. Professor Yu said the development of a vaccine will make it safer for people to return to their previous activities. It might take a year or two before things go back to normal, but to regain the losses, it would take longer than that, Yu said. Economists agree that the road to recovery will be long and painful, but if the government can muster enough courage and political will, the economy may be in for a better and faster recovery. And hopefully, Mother Nature would show off more of her nurturing side.
Thank you for listening to the Business Mirror Podcast. For a broader look on business, follow us on Facebook and Twitter at Business Mirror. Until next time.